Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Broken Earth. Sorry. Tonight's show is all about a ghost hunting show that I went on Saturday. I've got some other topics in the bag as well for you. If you'd like to give us a call on Skype number 347-215-8421. That's 347-215-8421. If you have anything you want to discuss with us, anything from any previous shows, any reading updates, anything you want, any amazing experiences you have, please share them with us. But please sit back, open your minds, and enjoy the show.
Hello, my name is Marissa from Power of You. Love, money, hope, security. Contact me for personalized spell packets. I'm a practitioner of enlightened down-home conjure. Just email us at powerofyoupracticalmagic@gmail.com. Again, powerofyoupracticalmagic@gmail.com.
Guess who?
Me. You know, that last song is actually Tesco's new theme tune.
Pretty Little Horses. You're just having a field day with this horse thing. I think it. All I know is that everything I've ever had from Tesco's is delicious.
Did I even tell you that joke? What do you call a burnt Tesco's burger?
What?
Black Beauty.
Oh, stop. Poor Tesco's. Hello, everybody. Sorry we're late today.
Sorry for my outburst at the beginning of the show.
Sorry we're late today. It was Bill's fault. However, we're here now. We're here now. And today's topic is about the ghost hunt share. Also, like usual, we're open to anybody else's experiences, anybody else's, you know, the stuff that the spooky dookie, that sounds like.
Yeah, you're
like...
not allowed to read it unless you share with us.
Spooky dookie sounds like one of those poops you take
like
that vanishes.
A lollipop what?
A spooky dookie.
It sounds like what?
A poop that you take that kind of vanishes. You don't know where it went in the potty.
It reminded me of a joke about two ghosts, and I can't really repeat that joke on the air.
I'm pretty sure because it's just completely disgusting.
Probably. I had my niece on the phone last night. She phoned me up. She's only 7. She phones me up like for 15, 20 minutes at a time just reading jokes out of the
book. And pressing buttons.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Oh, did you hear that? Did you hear me talking to
you? Yeah, you're like, why are you pressing buttons? You're just pressing buttons. Somebody's just pressing buttons. I'm like, okay, it's crazy.
Yeah.
If anybody has anything to share, our lines are open. We do have some people in the queue. So
already?
Yeah, we do. We have some people who've been waiting since before the show started. They've been waiting since...
Before times.
before times. Our number is 347-215-8421. Also, you know, if you want a reading or if you have a share, something that you wanted to share, an experience.
My name's Bill.
Or if you have a reading that you want to share, some things that have happened, if you've already had a reading, you know what I mean, an update. That's what we're talking about, an update. Give us a call. We're here for that, too. Remember to keep your readings simple so that we can keep everyone enthralled. And but why don't you when we do take a call, we're going to take the call from 484 first, okay? Just so you guys are aware that we see you. But Bill, why don't you tell us about the ghost hunting expedition? Yeah, tell us a little. Excuse me, share a little bit. Don't share it all up.
Okay, all right. So there's a couple of things from the news I wanted to cover as well, but I guess we can do that after the next break. Well, I went to a place called Stanley Palace. I should have had the information up here, but I don't. One moment. Stanley Palace, an old building in Chester. And it's an old building. It's like one of those old black and white buildings. I'm not saying they have black and white photos and still is today. I mean that it's actually the old style. I guess you'd probably have to look. Just put in Stanley Palace chest and you'll be able to see a photo of it anyway. There's an old building. It is actually... See, I told you I should have had the information there and it's fallen off me. For one moment.
Chim chim chiroo.
You're making fun of me.
It's falling off me, chim chim chiroo.
I was trying to find the date of 16th century grade two listed building. Right, okay. So anyway, I went on my own. Didn't know anybody else that was going to be there. And had to be there for 8:30 in the evening. And it's to last until 2:30 in the morning, but actually went on a bit later than that. I think I got to bed about 3:20. And did I tell you, when I was walking home and some guy appeared from around this corner all of a sudden, that there wasn't anybody else around, because I heard the birds singing.
Right.
And he like kind of stumbled around the corner, and I thought he was going to say something. You know, just, I thought, is he drunk? Anyway, I walked a bit and turned around to look back at him, and he fell over into the middle of the road. And I thought, yeah, he's drunk, all right.
Oh, he's Irish. Go on.
I didn't ask him if he was all right. I was more concerned about getting to my bed. Anyway, so we got there about 8:20, and I knocked on the door. You know, have I got the right place? Somebody opened the door and said, sorry, not today, thanks. And I went, okay then. But they were just messing around. So anyway, we went into this room, and altogether there was about 20 people there, consisting of, it was the Spirit Quest UK team, paranormal investigation team.
Mm-hmm.
There was a bloke called Howard there, who was the founder of it, I think, and there was Karen. And there was two psychics, or mediums, medium psychics, mediums are large. And they had plenty of equipment there. They had the EMF meters. Well, so they had the dictaphone, which they actually didn't use for the night. I was going to bring that up, but I thought I'd keep myself to myself, you know, because, you know, I've had quite a few experiences myself, but I'll keep myself to myself and just make my own mind up of the night and,
mm-hmm.
you know. So they also had Ghost Box as well, which is it's like a little radio. What it does is scans the radio frequencies, and ghost entities can use the energy and pluck words from the radio waves. So they had that there. What else did they have? I'm sure they had something else as well. Oh, a heat. Like a heat detector device
mm-hmm.
thing, and it
mm-hmm.
shined like a red laser light into different areas of the room, and I'll tell you what temperature there was, temperature changes. Anyway, it was a cold night, and I got there, and it was actually boiling in the room that we started off in. So I thought I'd better wrap up warm and a scarf on and everything. So they give us a little bit of history about Stanley Palace and the night started off with us going into one of the downstairs rooms. It's actually a room where I did the meditation a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I went there for a meditation group. So anyway, went into this room. it wasn't the best. It was all right, but you know why. I didn't go back. So we went into this room and sat down in these chairs, and we sat there. We got straight into it, really. You know, turned the lights off, and they had video cameras there. I'm supposed to be getting a DVD of the night and the highlights and that, but they said it could take a couple of months. So, you know. So we sat there for a bit, and we heard a bit of noise here and there. And I don't think much happened in the first room. We had a couple of knocks, but we would eventually go back to this room a bit later on. I took a couple of photos in there, and I wasn't sure. Well, I couldn't determine whether what I caught on camera was orbs or whether it was dust. And I said to Howard, the main man, I think I've caught, you know, it could be dust, it could be orbs. He said, no, they're definitely orbs. So I said, okay then. So I accepted it as that for now. I'll take some more photos later on.
Right.
We moved around, and she told us like the history of the building. There was one woman. See, I missed a bit, but I'll be able to see it on the DVD afterwards. But some woman must have sensed something when we were going past the stairs, because mm-hmm. one of the psychics stopped and they stood like halfway up on the stairs and said there was actually a young girl who died there. She'd fallen down the stairs and died. So I'm not sure whether she was sensing the presence of this girl. And so we went around to the corner to the left a bit, and some people volunteered to put their fingers on top of the table. You know, I'm sure you've seen it before where it's called the table tipping.
Mm-hmm.
We all stood around with the fingers on top of this round table, and I was stood nearby. And I had a sense that I was being watched from this corner, and I kept looking over. It doesn't happen very often for me. I mean, it's when people say, "Oh, I felt a presence." You know, there's a presence there. There's no kind of like, is there something there? Because I've experienced a presence like there was one in my bedroom once, and it's such a strong feeling. There's no question about it. There's something there. So I was looking in this corner, and there's like psychic was saying this. These monks which keep stepping in and out of the room. And I said to her, I said, "Yeah, it feels like something's watching me." I turned around and I saw this thing in the corner of the room in the darkness, and I was like, "What is that?" There were these two eyes coming out of the darkness, and I thought, "Please let that be an ornament." And it turned out it was an owl ornament. Thank God for that. I really made me freak out and start running away. Oh my God.
I don't want this anymore.
Let me out. I don't know. You must have a phobia of owls. So nothing happened with the table. They reckoned that they felt it moving, but I couldn't see anything. Because I went there, I was actually more logical on that night than I thought I would be. Which I suppose is a better way to go. Rather go, probably turn up and go more skeptical. Not that I don't believe that these things are real.
Right.
The ghosts exist. It's just I was surprised that my mind state was more balanced, logical, and thought about these things rather than taking every little bang and squeak as a paranormal activity, you know? So she said these monks were stepping in and out of the room, and nothing happened at the table. There was one girl there. I think she was Polish girl. And she said she felt like she was being choked. And the psychic told her to say to whatever it was, you know, step back, step out of my space, and, you know, leave me alone. And shortly after, it subsided. So we were there for a bit. And all this probably went over the course of about an hour, what we were doing here.
Right.
So that's when we went back and had a break, and we had some sausage rolls and stuff. And what struck me as odd, the temperature changes in this place, because it's so warm.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it'll go icy cold, and then it'll go really warm again. And I thought, well, I'll do my investigation work, and I was checking the radiators, the heating, and it wasn't on at all. So if I thought, you know, if they have the heating on, it's going to cause problems for us detecting any temperature changes, and also that with the heating, it's going to be heating up and cooling down, and things are going to be clunking, and the building's going to be creaking.
Right.
So fortunately, I checked, and the heating was off.
Well, remember when you asked me what you should wear, and the way I was looking, well, the way it looked to me, it looked like you were going to get...
That makes me sound really... I'll make sure just do it with me a read and see what I should wear for the night.
Well, you know, just make sure.
All that stuff that clash with deep spirits around. Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean. You were asking whether it was going to be hot or cold, and I told
that
it looked like that you were going to, you know, there were going to be times that you were hot and there was going to be times that you were cold. And I was just like, wear a jacket and a scarf so that, you know, you're not too hot, but you have the scarf to make sure that your neck is okay.
Yeah, well, you kind of got it right, but because it was difficult, because I was walking home from there, and it's a good 25 minutes. and if I didn't, well, anyway, it wouldn't have made a difference what I wore because the temperature changes up and down all night. One day I was freezing, the next day I was too hot. But so I think that's when we had our first break, and they had an EMF meeting, an electromagnetic frequency detecting device, which was left on the table. And as soon as we got there, it was left in the middle of the table. It was going crazy the whole time we were there.
Mm-hmm.
It was going up and down, and all it was in the middle of the table. There was nothing around there causing electromagnetic fields from any mobile phones or anything. I turned my mobile phone off and put it in my jacket pocket and left it on the chair while I was out and around. The only thing they had on me was a camera and a torch.
Right.
So, we had our first break, and that's when we decided to venture up the stairs. I went into our room up there, and it's like a huge wooden table and like a grand piano in there.
Mm-hmm.
And people were saying, you know, like they really wanted to find out how on earth this piano got into the building, because it was so big and the staircase and everything so small. I don't know whether they must have dismantled it or something, because you know what it's like with these old buildings. They had kind of tall ceilings and areas, but there's like a little staircase and the floors are all wonky. You know what it is in these old buildings. So mm-hmm. we all took a seat, and what happened next? Julie was picking up on some names. There was a woman called Elizabeth, which was supposed to be there, supposed to walk up and down the room with a long dress on, which were wafted around as she was walking up and down the room. They were checking the EMF readings for the area, and they set up a motion detector on the stairs for any movements.
Right.
And this is when, around about the time that they got a small foldable table out and asked for volunteers to come and put their fingers on top of it. And I volunteered because I'll be able to get first-person experience if anything did happen or if it didn't happen. I think I'd be able to judge better being there with the table rather than watching the sides, make my own judgment of what was going on. So I volunteered, and there was three other people. So there's four of us around this table, and we put our fingers on the table. And I shall tell you what happened next after a short break.
What? That was a tease.
Say what?
Okay, well, why don't we take a short break? We're going to come back, and we're going to take a caller at 484. We may be able to take two callers, actually. Remember, everybody, try to keep your questions simple so that we can keep everyone enthralled. And remember, this is Broken Earth Radio. The number to call in is 347-215-8421, and we will be right back. Hello, caller at 484. This is Broken Earth. You're speaking with Nunu and Bill. How can we help you?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Wow, so distant.
Yeah.
Hello. Oh,
we
hi there. I'm here.
He's so far away. Oh, there you are.
I'm here. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes,
yeah,
we can hear you now.
Okay.
How are you?
Good, good. Do you need my name and date of birth or anything?
Sure.
Okay. My name is Tara. My date of birth is 8/29/74.
Well, hi, Tara. It's nice to meet you. Share with us, what's on your mind today.
Well, I guess I would love to know what you see coming up for me. You know, I'm pretty open to whatever.
These are sample readings. So do you have a specific thing that you really want to talk about, Tara?
I guess my love life would be fine.
Okay. Is there someone you wanted to talk about in particular?
I am with nobody at the present time, so I don't know if you see any.
So you're just sort of open. You're open. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to just do something real simple. We're going to see when we see you meeting someone, you know, somebody that you got a nice spiritual connection with, and then, you know, that's the way we'll get you kind of started off on it. But bear with me just a moment, Tara. Hold on just a moment. Let's see. All right, so rest on your laurels and you see. There's a long pause, missed opportunities, and there we go. There's someone that it looks like you have had some dealing with. Oh, geez. He shows up just a step ago. Hold on just a moment. Let me see what this means. Was there somebody that you were dealing with back in, June, May, like maybe last March or April time?
Yes, unfortunately I was, but then I was dating, but then I was also right in between, I found a new boyfriend that I was dating as well, so I don't know which one you're meaning.
Okay, well, one of them is going to be making a pop-in for you, and it looks like it's happening in February. It looks like it's not happening right away in March, but it does look like it's sometime in March when you'll be hearing from him. Now, what I'm seeing is there's a really big attempt to rekindle a friendship. That's basically how our guides are defining it to me. And you know, I do see that you've got some things that are hovering over you. You're kind of walking the fence because this person seems to be kind of self-oriented, I guess that's a good way to put it. But the thing is, he does seem to be telling you some things that are really flowery, very, very flattering too. So I'm going to tell you, your skepticism is noted here in you know, even by our guides, but he seems to be trying to start fresh and trying to offer you, you know, a newness about things. So, but we'll see. I mean, you know, if you don't want to go there, don't worry about it. But just remember that the next thing that comes along really does seem like it's going to be a return.
Oh.
All right.
Now, can you ask your guide whether or not it's one man versus another? Because the only reason I'm concerned is the one ex right before the other one, I had to, like, get, you know, legal it was, you know, I had to get law enforcement involved. So that's why I'm concerned. I'm hoping it's not him because, you know, it's going to mean more law enforcement and stuff like that because they were actually charging him with stalking last year. So I
did you have a restraining order against him?
They wanted me to get one, but because he only came back in July and approached my door and was carrying on, and I was already at that time dating this new man, and I told the new man all of this drama, and I think that kind of scared the new man away. So I'm wondering if it's the new man or if it's the psycho that's going to be coming back. The psycho, his name is Jason.
Right. Okay. Let's see if it's, I'm just going to see if it's the new guy.
The new guy is Daniel.
His name is Daniel. Okay, let's see if it's Daniel. Hold on just a moment. Okay. Having a meeting of minds. Okay. All right. I want to ask you two things. Is Daniel, does he have dark hair and fair skin?
Yes. Daniel has the darker hair. Jason has like a light blonde
with
green
eyes. Well, it's
the
dark-haired guy. It's the dark-haired guy that it is. That's who it is. Yeah.
Okay. Daniel has dark hair, dark eyes, and fair skin, and Jason has light blondish green eyes.
Well, it's Daniel. It's the dark haired guy.
Okay. Good. Good. Because I don't want to deal with police and PFA.
Right.
I just don't. It's too much.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. We'll be coming back around, and it looks like it's going to be like sometime at around the third or fourth week of March. It's just next month. It's not far. All right?
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for listening. Thanks a whole lot for listening.
Thank you.
Let us know. Okay.
I will. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Can we take another call?
Completely.
Okay. Hold on. Let's see. We're going to be taking the caller from 818. 818, this is Broken Earth Radio. How can we help you?
Yes, hi, hello. My name is Danielle. How are you guys today?
Good, Danielle. Very good.
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 How can we help you or what do you have to share?
Yes, I would actually like to see if I could have a sample mini reading with regard to with my healing work. I'm a Reiki 2 practitioner and learning some other modalities, and I really would like to move forward with it, but I'm not, my husband doesn't understand any of the metaphysical stuff, and it kind of freaks him out, so I'm trying to see if that's going to be able to happen for me within the next few months, because I depend on him, actually, I'm just the same, so I'm just trying to see if you know what I mean? If I have a chance there.
What does he say the issues are with him?
He just thinks that it's a waste of time. Like it's not something that's like real. Like he works and brings money. That's real. What I do is not of any significance in his eyes because he doesn't understand it. Although I did give him an angel reading one day, and he agreed to it, and he was quite happy. So I think he's curious, but still on the fence.
Right. And well, I think probably what's going to help you the most, sweetheart, is let me kind of look and see where you are in your life cycles, because you're really at a place where. And I think you know this, too, where you're about to, I mean, not right away, but soon you're going to come to a fork in the road. And, I mean, and this fork is coming. This fork is just going to, it's going to come. But let me just kind of see where your life cycle is about to take you. And whenever I talk to people about cycles, I'm talking about the time between summer to summer, around July, about like July to July, because between that time there, there's always something that happens that triggers what you're going to be dealing with over the next 12 months, kind of like a universal fiscal year. So right now, I'm kind of concerned because you are in a high priestess cycle, which is what you're trying to do right now. And right now your high priestess is upside down, and you know why it's upside down. It's upside down because your emperor, who shows up as the cycle that you were in before, is upside down. So it's like he doesn't want you to practice. You already know this. I mean, you know it because you said it. I'm not going to repeat it. But see, the next cycle you're coming into is actually called success. And the thing is, you know, your success card, the way it is right now, it's laying dormant because your high priestess is being smothered. So the thing is, I mean, I know that this is the perfect time for you to do this. As a healer, I'm concerned because as a seer, I see him smother you. And I don't mean physically smother you, but I really feel like because he's talking down and talking down, your cycles are being smushed. Let me show you something real quickly. About two years ago, you were in a travel cycle, a cycle about traveling and journeying. And I'm actually seeing that you did do some wonderful things, except you didn't get to do what you wanted to do. It was what he wanted to do, you see? So we've got to figure out some way for you to be able to do these things. Or like I said, it's just inevitable that you're going to hit that wall that's going to take you to that fork. Because one of the things that keeps our relationships thriving is when we're authentic to who we truly are.
Right.
So, you know, if we constantly surrender to the other person and we constantly let that other person take what we want or we fulfill their dreams and not our own.
Right.
We hit a wall, but a lot of times it's actually the other person telling you you're not who you used to be, and then they're crushing us, and then we're left having done all these things except nothing for ourselves. So, you know, my suggestion to you is, this is going to sound almost impossible, but get him to take a couple of the classes with you. I know you're going to be like, he'd never do that. I bet he would. Just tell him, look, if you don't like it when we go, I won't go. But the thing is, he will like it. So that's the way that I see that you'll be able to complete this, as opposed to, letting him, you know, be that blanket that keeps covering up your dreams, okay? Try that out. Because I know that he does love you right now. I mean, I really do. And I know that, but one of the things that, and Bill and I have had this conversation probably 1,000 times, you got to be careful about who you share your energy with. Like if you're going to a meditation group, if you're going to a school for Reiki, if you're even going to a church, if that's the path you choose, you got to be careful about who you share your energy with, because you don't want their dirt in it. So on a positive note, yeah, I see that he's skeptical because he doesn't know who these people are. But if he sees who they are and he's like, okay, you know what, maybe this person over here is fluff, but this person seems legit, maybe this is a way that he'll be able to help you, you know, keep focusing on your dreams and your goals. And when he actually sees that you're a healer and that you're here to help people and that you really do help people, he'll and he sees that it also shows up, you know, in green form, you know, you get to make some money, then you'll have his respect. Okay?
Okay.
All right? So try that angle so that you can actually do this. Okay?
And you really think that he would say yes if I asked?
Well, the thing is, you've got to be willing to put a trade on the table. This is one of those few times in a relationship that it's okay to barter. Say, listen, sweetheart, I want to do this. And what I'd like you to do is go with me once, and if you don't like it, if you think the people there are you know, just going to litter up my chakras, if you think the people there are not worth it, then, you know, then I'll respect that.
Okay.
But if you find anything in there that actually seems like it's okay with you, you got to let me go. You got to let me do this.
Okay?
Try that.
Okay. Thank you
so much.
I appreciate it.
All right, sweetheart.
Namaste.
Okay, hang in there. Oh, you too.
Thank
you too. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Are you?
I'm not here. Okay. All right. So, you were saying that you guys were sitting at the table.
No. No, we weren't. We were standing at the table.
You were dancing at the table.
That's right. So, as I was saying, there was a fold-away table, mm-hmm. and there was wanted volunteers to stand around this table. I wasn't really know what I was expecting. You know, I thought, what are the things going to happen? So, excuse me. And so I thought I'd volunteer so I can see, you know, what's going on. So there's four of us around this little fold-away table. And we placed our fingers on it, just resting on the top of it. And I stood there for maybe, how long would it have been? Maybe a minute and a half, maybe, two
mm-hmm.
minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, you know, then I felt slight movement in the table. And then it started rocking, like tipping from diagonally across the corner.
Right.
Like casually, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was doing that for a few minutes, going back into and it felt like the table had a mind of its own. I was looking at the other people that were on the table with me, and it didn't, it was probably difficult to say, but it didn't look like anybody was doing anything to move it.
Well, you know, I'm not, hold on just a moment. There's that movie that I was suggesting everybody watch last week. It was actually showing how people can do that with their foot. But if nobody was standing near it, then there you go.
Well, we have to be standing there, otherwise we're meant to reach it.
Well, you know what I mean, if there's nobody standing near a leg.
Well, of course, see, I couldn't see that. I don't think anybody would, because there was plenty of people in the room and they would have picked up on it. And not
right.
only that, there was people with infrared cameras filming
right.
the base of the table, as far as I'm aware.
Okay.
So I'll be able to review the footage when it comes back anyway. So it was doing this, and then it started getting more and more violent, tipping back and forth, and then it started to move across the floor, like rocking back and to and then sliding, and it ended up probably about 15 feet away from where
mm-hmm.
it originally was, and then it fell over
mm-hmm.
in slow motion for some reason. It fell over. It didn't fall over straight onto the floor because we had our fingers on it, so it was slightly supporting it from its, you know, complete drop into the floor. So it fell over, and then someone folded the table out again, and we started it again. But I wasn't sure, entirely sure, whether one of the people was moving it or not. I couldn't
mm-hmm.
be 100% sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to kind of discount that as... The rocking seemed genuine. Table moving seemed something really odd about it, and I couldn't believe what was happening, but I couldn't be 100% sure that this person wasn't having anything to do, because I even took my fingers off the table at one point, and the lad next to me even had his fingers off the table at one point. Except one person seemed to be putting a little bit more pressure on the table than the others, and I thought, ah. That's kind of like the percentage of it being something paranormal is dropping down considerably because of my logic side.
Right.
So anyway, but we got to a certain point, and then we picked it up, and I was in the corner. We were kind of in the corners this time rather than being, you know, opposite each other, just the way it turned out. Anyway, the table started rocking again, but it was rocking towards, you know, back and to, towards me, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you would have been able to do that successfully is if I was putting pressure down on the table, which I wasn't. So that is something I can't explain, because I would have had to have been pushing on the table, and I wasn't, but it was still happening. That was probably one of the key moments during this table moving experience. I thought to myself, yeah, this is not just people's unconscious mind moving this table and slight muscle movements causing this effect. There's something definitely strange going on here, because this would indicate that I was doing it.
Right.
And I tell you firsthand that I wasn't. And then it ended up, it moved about another 6 feet. And then it kind of stopped. So we left it there. I think they were asking this woman, Elizabeth, where she wanted, because it moved over to the piano. And they were asking where they wanted the piano to be, where they wanted to be moved to, and it moved to this other area. And then it stopped after a while. Besides, leaning over the table doesn't do much for your back. Anyway, your lower back.
Right.
So that was that. So that was strange. Like I said, I couldn't. The first time it was moving, I couldn't say that it was 100% normal. I couldn't say that. But the second time moving, definitely the rocking back to, I was not doing that. So that is something I can't explain. We left the table where it was, and then we next did what box. Like earlier, Spock is the best little radio, which scans the radio waves, and entities and spirits can use their energy to pick out words from these radio waves. So
mm-hmm.
when it's switched on, all you hear is static noise. It's quite loud and quite annoying after a while. So we set it up in this table in the middle of the room with some external speakers. Something that I need to point out as well, we tried it in the room downstairs first, but there wasn't really anything going on. You'd hear like a split second of music or something that just happened to be picking up from a radio station, but there wasn't anything specific. So we left it on the table, and we all joined hands. There was probably 20 of us, maybe a
mm-hmm.
little bit more than that, all in a circle around this table, holding hands. But the way they did it, which strangely was the way I did it anyway, was you have your right hand faced down and your left hand faced up. So everybody has the same pattern around the circle. It's something to do with the energy, and then you have to imagine the energy moving in an anti-clockwise fashion, going up one arm and down the other arm, and then it getting faster as if it was building up the energy. So this ghost box was spewing out static noise for probably about 5 minutes while we're all getting ourselves into this circle and closing our eyes and concentrating. And it wasn't until they started asking questions that it started making noises. And the words that I picked up on during this experience, which a couple of them were confirmed by other people, they thought, this is what I heard for definite, was the name Tom came out. Also, sick. I heard a child laughing. At one point, what I heard was a woman's voice, but I couldn't make out what it said. And the other thing was, I thought I heard it say, kill them.
Oh, my goodness. Maybe they'd say, cure them.
Maybe.
Because they were sick.
That's what I'm saying. My point of view.
I know.
But it could have been, yeah, it would have been saying sick. It could have been cure them. But it was difficult to say, but somebody thought it said something else. But this is what I heard, you know.
Right.
So that was going on for a few minutes, and then we decided to turn it off because we had quieted down a bit and we'd been there for a while. So we shut that off. Oh, no, sorry, when we were in the circle, one of the blokes who was filming, I put his camera down, I got the EMF meter out, and there was one bloke, and there was quite a bit of electromagnetic frequency going on around him. And he went around the whole circle, and the only other place whether the electromagnetic frequency was, take a guess. Around me.
Watches?
What? Do you have jewelry to it?
I have jewelry on my mind. No, I was thinking maybe it was like people's watches, but it was you.
Yeah, that's, well, you're the place where there was electromagnetic interference going on was around me, but I was holding hands with this psychic anyway, so I don't know if there's something going on there with this. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
The energy. But the thing is, when I first got there and sat down in the room, when I first arrived at the building, I felt the energy in my body becoming stronger. And while I was there, it was flowing quite a lot, especially from the hands and that. And that wasn't something I had to concentrate on, which I can do when I concentrate on it, but it just happened naturally for some reason because I was in this environment. And so the next thing that we did was they got a glass out and turned it upside down and put it on a table, and then some people gathered around. I thought, well, I'll let some of the people have a go because I wanted other people to see that it was different people each time doing these things.
Right.
So I didn't think there was like one instigator in the group who was doing the moving on purpose, you know, trying to create, you know, excitement in a place where there's nothing, but not saying there wasn't anything there. But, I think it was about four of them. They put their fingers on top of the glass, this upturned glass, and they were asking for it to move. And quite some time went by, and it didn't move. And then eventually, it started to move very little, and then it would like move towards one person and back to the center, and then it would start moving around in circles. I wasn't too sure about this. I thought, is this borderline Ouija board stuff?
Right.
So this glass was moving around. They were asking it questions, and the questions they were asking, I think it turned out to be a young person around the age of 8 or something, a child, because that area that we're in upstairs was a place used for teaching. So this class was moving around, but once again, I wasn't somebody involved with it.
Right.
So I couldn't say from my own personal point of view there was something paranormal going on there, but the people that were actually in like the couple round tables seemed like genuine people, and I don't think that they'd be ones that would be doing it, not consciously. Anyway.
Right.
So, anyway, I'll leave it there for a few minutes and I'll catch my breath.
Okay. Let's listen to a song and then let's take a caller. When we get back, we're going to take the caller from area code 203. But we're going to listen to a song real quickly, and then we'll come right back. Remember, our lines are open. Our number is 347-215-8421. Chat room is open, too, if anybody's just listening. You can scroll down, and you can see that the chat room is available, too. But we will be right back.
Tune in to Broken Earth on blogtalkradio.com, 2 p.m. Central Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and 8 p.m. in the UK.
Broken Earth. 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 Broken
the path left alone. Cause beyond every bend is a long blinding end. It's the worst kind of pain I've known.
Broken Earth Radio Show. Let's take a caller. How many times have I said It is so annoying, you know, listening back to the show and
that's
then like
good one, you know. The ums and the you know.
It's just frustrating to be listening to the show, and I'm like, no, don't do it again. Don't say it again. No. Okay. Let's take the caller from area code 203. 203, this is Broken Earth. How can we help you today?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello.
Are you guys speaking to me?
Yes.
Yes, we are.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. That's just funny. This is Heidi from Connecticut. And so odd, I actually got in, first time calling. You know, I have to say that my life has been rather very stressful for the last 12 years, ever since I got involved with some person that was much older than me, ended up having children and everything. And in 2011, I began having shadow-like dreams where I felt that, you know, I would feel a shadow in my bed on top of me. The first time I had it was in August 2011, where I saw monsters, and I was trying to climb a tower. And I climbed the tower, and I saw fairies on top and monsters below. And I remember reaching the uppermost level and seeing these, you know, monsters that I felt were evil and trying to get me. And then I rewoke, and I entered the dream again. This time I was in bed, and I felt as if something had climbed into bed with me and had placed its arm in front of me and was holding something. But I don't recall what it was holding. And I remember screaming, salte, 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 which means get out, get out, get out, get out in Spanish. And it wasn't until my mom heard me and woke me up that I was able to wake out of that dream. And I've had that dream continuously since 2011 at different times. You know, most of them took place in 2011. I had one again just a couple months ago in 2012. And I really wonder, I mean, did I take, you know, did I do something at some point in my life where I feel like ever since, you know, I met my ex, just that everything has been very stressful and I'm always having to resolve this issue or that between, you know, my ex. And it's, and I guess I'm wondering, I mean, is there going to be a relief, you know, especially since we have three little girls and I'm so tired, like emotionally, physically tired.
Right.
I mean, right now I'm trying to move to Georgia because that's where my little girls live. It's so stressful. I mean, my ex was 13 years older than me. I feel like I've lived so much, and just I'm only 31 years old.
Right.
So, your daughters are with him in Georgia?
Yes, they're with him in Georgia. Very long story, you know.
No, that's okay.
I was under the belief that, you know, they would do better down there. We wanted a change of environment. Eventually, I would go. But I've always been the breadwinner in our relationship, and I had to, and I continue to live in Connecticut just so I can provide for them.
Right.
And now I really want to move to Georgia because my daughters are getting older, and I really feel like I'm failing them.
Well, the dream started, you said, in 2011?
Yes.
And how long have they been gone?
Very disturbing dreams.
Right, right.
Well,
how long have they been gone?
Well, the last time I had a dream in 2011 was in November, and then I had it again in September, so quite a bit of time passed.
Right.
And
how long have they been in Georgia?
Well, they've been in Georgia for a long time now. They've been in Georgia for 4 years.
Right. They've been in Georgia for a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really got to sit back and think about this. I really got to meditate on this because, I mean, you do harbor a lot of resentment and guilt with this last relationship you were in.
Yes.
I mean, you do. You do. And so a lot of the imagery, it's very gothic imagery that you have going on with you, very melancholy, very beautiful dreams, you know, as far as the landscape is concerned and the artisticness and, you know, the artistry in it, but as far as just, you know, the content, very frightening.
Yes. Yeah.
So anyhow, I do believe that a lot of what's going on with you, honestly, is it's that, it's these emotions, these very melancholy emotions that have manifested themselves in your dreams into something that is very, like I said, very, 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 very gothic, very, you know. But we just need to get you in a situation where you feel like, okay, I'm being productive, not only, you know, I could just, I mean, I'm telling you, you're mad. You're very, very mad, and you're very, very sad because you're mad because you feel as if this person who was supposed to be a man, and I don't care how old he is, he's supposed to be a man, and there's things he was supposed to do, but you were doing them, and you were also playing the role of the woman. And now, because of his behavior and his refusal to participate in certain things, you've had to sacrifice the time of motherhood for your daughters because because of just the way that your roles have been played. And but you know, it's one of the things I want you to understand too, is that when you're up against a rock in a hard place, when you're in an alley, you're in an alley, on one side you got a Kodiak bear, on the other side you got neo-Nazis, you know, who do you fight? You fight the fight that you think you can win, and then you just kind of lick your wounds and recover later. But basically, like I said, you know, this is something that's a lot deeper than what we can really offer you right now, you know. But I can tell you this. I can see your resolution, but your resolution, you have to respect your days to receive that resolution. And it's basically you need to get to where you need, where you can be, so that you're able to actually touch your kids like you feel like you need to. You have that guilt, and but you also have that anger with him. And because you are historically someone who has, you know, an overdramatic dream process, you know, very theatrical dreams, and this is where you put all your emotions. Because you, during the day, you've kind of got to be cool and calm. But I'm pretty sure the artwork you like is a little wild and maybe, you know, kind of Halloween oriented. You know,
yes.
What I mean? And these are the dreams that you are having too. So I understand where you are, but you know, the process to get you where you really will feel better. So that, but then you're still going to have some guilt. So we need to really get you through some serious forgiveness practice. It's a practice that is deep, very deep. There's a method of forgiveness called Ho'oponopono. And look it up so that you can see if it's something that you're interested in doing, because I can do it with you. We can also get you set up with some nice meditation, relaxation, so that you can start having some brighter, more clearer dreams. There's tons of stuff that we can do, but like I said, it's bigger than what we can offer you right now.
Thank you so much.
Okay, but
you said it's Ho'oponopono?
It's spelled H-O apostrophe.
Okay.
O-N-O-P-O-N-O. And it's a Hawaiian practice of forgiveness. But it's deep. I mean, it's something that where we take you back to the before times, so that you understand why you did what you did and why you're doing what you're doing. And it's basically telling your transgressors that you're sorry, so that you can get the forgiveness that you need in yourself to be able to forgive them. It's a mess. Then your situation is honestly and truthfully, you know, it's out of the best intentions. You know, your hell was built. So,
mm-hmm.
but we'll help you out. We'll get you fixed up. Okay, dear.
Thank you so much, Nunu and Bill. I really appreciate your time and guidance.
All right, Heidi. We'll talk to you
before you go.
Uh-huh.
Just to get you started, I posted a link to a YouTube video of a meditative relaxation that I created. And if you listen to that, hopefully it'll give you a bit more, relieve a bit of stress for you. And if you click on the channel as well, there's also a video on forgiveness there as well that you can check out.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Okay, dear.
Well.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, there is, we've only got so much time, and we want to finish, so let's do this. We're going to take one last caller, and then we're going to, talk some more about your go share, and then we're going to have a proper note. But we're taking the Skype caller right now. Skype caller, this is Broken Earth. How can we help you?
Hello, greetings. Thank you for taking my call. I am calling because I'm in a situation. I had an interview today, and the reason why I'm calling is this is spiritual. I so desire to do something that is more of my soul calling. And with this position that I interviewed today, and I wanted to see if you could tap into it, is this the right position for me, and how will it pan out? if you need more information, I can certainly do that.
Okay. Well, just hold on just a moment. Let me see what I can pick up, and then we'll kind of fill in those blanks. Hold on just a moment.
Sure.
What's your name, too, dear?
Patricia.
Patricia. Okay. Hold on just a moment. Okay. All right. On the journey. Okay. One question I do have. Have they talked to you about pay?
Yes.
And it's not very great, is it?
No.
Yeah. Honestly, spiritually, this looks like this is going to fill you up. I'm just concerned about you feeling that the energy that you put out matches the energy that you receive back, because you're already walking into this scenario drained. And even though it looks like you do become filled up, okay, you do, you will be, there's still an underlining current of resentment that does start to grow from another area. So I'm kind of concerned about this, to be frank.
Okay.
I can see where it would be really good for you to do this, but you're not a gazillionaire, right?
No.
So think about that. I do think that if you can kind of come from the angle of, I need this experience, I need to be able to wake up and do something and know that people are grateful.
Yeah.
You may want to try that angle, but it really does. I really am seeing you put in a whole lot, and you know, we need to see what you can do about what you receive back. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and I am looking at it from the angle of I need to do this for my soul, because I believe if I do, it's more of a humanitarian position.
Right.
I've been in sales and marketing, and, you know, I can go out there and get any type of sales job and make a lot of money, but I would feel very guilty, because I need to do this
right
for my soul before I leave this earth, and that's, I just feel like that's pulling on me.
Right.
And
well, it definitely looks like it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything you wanted to add, Bill?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, making the right choice by going towards what's calling you and doing feel what needs to be done, what you feel is the right thing to do.
Right.
And we all need to listen to that voice a bit more inside to direct us sometimes through life. So well done and good luck, and hope it works out for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's other things that I'm involved with which can bring in the income that I need to fill that
good
gap in. But like you said, yes, I am drained. I just got out of a divorce.
Right.
Which drained me. And but I am also working on my soul, so
right.
I just wanted your input and your advice before I accept anything like this, because I'm the type of person that don't like to go into something half-hearted and then
right,
you know, have to, you know, push it
away.
Well,
it looks like you're totally aware. It looks like you're totally aware of what you're dealing with. So, but let us know along the way how you're doing. Okay.
Okay,
thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much for letting us help you today, okay?
Oh, thank you for helping me. I appreciate it. You
okay,
have a good
dear
day.
All right.
Bye.
You too. You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, we have about 14 minutes left, so.
So we do?
Yeah.
It says we've got 42.
Well, see, the thing is, we started late, and
right,
and you want to go to bed.
I do. But so is this going to end it?
Well, we'll have to end it. We'll have to end it in 13 minutes. We'll end
okay
it properly.
Well, we'll see how we get on with the thing anyway. Right. What was that?
You were saying that you guys, there were a bunch
glass.
Of...
They were using the glass.
Yeah, yeah.
So they moved the glass around, then they stopped with that. And then we split into two groups. One group went downstairs to the first room we went to, and I stayed upstairs. And what we were trying to do is something they hadn't tried before, where they were going to try and get, they were trying to communicate, the psychic was trying to communicate with the spirits that were there to tell them to go down the stairs to do something to one of the people there. And they would walkie-talkie up and say, someone's, you know, leg's just been pulled or someone's face has just been smashed in. And it would confirm, you know. Anyway,
right.
We're up there and the psychic was saying, you know, if there's anybody up here, I need you to go downstairs. And there'd be like a clunk or something upstairs. You're like, no, I need you to go downstairs. I need you to go down. The noises I heard, I couldn't dismiss them as being, you know, just the building heating up and cooling down. There were noises going on. I don't know whether it was just the building settling and moving. But there was one point where she was trying to go downstairs and it sounded like somebody was hanging around the top of the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking down towards the stairs, and it was kind of really dark down there. And I thought I saw things moving around, shapes and stuff, but I knew there was nobody down there at all. And then I saw, like, a red orb. I'm seeing things in the corner of my eye now. I'm starting to freak myself out. with the light, and instead of lights on, I saw a red orb, but I kept, like I said, I kept myself to myself most of the time. I just got on with her. She was trying to get somebody to go down and touch somebody on the ear, I think. And then the radio up saying somebody's hair was being pulled. and then they tried to do, but the temperature dropped really quickly where they were. Really, that the electromagnetic frequency thing was going off the scale. Down there. So they did the same for us, but we didn't really pick up on anything. So I mean, obviously this went over a period of time, and we
right.
decided to move back downstairs. The sensor on the stereo didn't go off audibly, but the light did light up. You know, it was just there was a bit of movement going on.
Mm-hmm.
So we all decided to go back down to this room because of the activity that was going on down there. So we went in there, and there was this one corner where the electromagnetic frequency thing was going off the scale, just in this one corner, and they put it down so it might be a portal for things to come in and out of. So anyway, they were knocking on one of the doors, on one of the walls. The psychic tried to communicate with the spirit, saying, knock back, or something, you know, knock on the wall. And it was knocking. There was something communicating with us by thudding and banging on this wall, which was a bit unnerving, to say the least. That made me... It was probably the key moments of that night where I thought, what the hell is that? Is this... This is something communicating with us from the other side.
Right.
Because it was knocking. Thought to myself, somebody could be upstairs knocking on the wall, but... There wasn't, because you would have heard somebody going up the stairs because it was creaky. We're all downstairs and this thing was thudding, not really loudly, you know. It sounded like it was using a lot of energy to try and knock on this wall. And someone piped up and said, oh, I've been seeing red orbs. And I thought, well, I have as well. And because I didn't mention it as well, it was better evidence for me that I'd actually seen something. And the psychic was saying, well, that's related to evil spirits when you see a red orb. People have been taking photos in that room and were catching orbs on the camera. I took a photo and there was a red orb on there and some white ones. So with the table again, it was a round table and they were trying to make it move, but they couldn't. They said it felt like it was moving, but I was shining my torch on the base so everybody could watch to see if it was moving, but we didn't see any movements, but they said they felt something. So it was getting towards the end of the night, so we went out back into the original room where we all started. And they grabbed another table which had a round top on it as well, but the top of it was loose. So the top of it kind of, if you moved it, it would rotate around, you know, the way it was designed. It would just, and it kind of squeaked a bit as if the top was loose, you know. And so, okay, we need some people to volunteer to do this one, because last time they did it, they started spinning around. So I thought, well, you know, I'll do it. So I put my fingers on it. We were waiting for a while. And then it started that, the lid started moving back in two, you know, on its, like, whatever it was, you know, not tipping the table, but because the lid was a bit loose, it was tipping back in two. And once again, it was tipping in my direction as well, like from where I was. So I'd have to be putting pressure on it again because nobody's fingers were underneath the table. They were on top. So they wouldn't be able to lift it from their side, given the impression I was pushing it down on mine, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
So that was strange. It was tipping again. And then all of a sudden, it started spinning around. But it wasn't a gradual starting up and spinning. It was like all of a sudden it would start moving. But we all kept our fingers on top of the table. You know, otherwise, you know, because the spirit's using the energy of the people around the table to make it move.
Right.
We're all running around this table like idiots, trying to keep up with it. And then it would stop, and then it would, then there'd be scratching on the table and like knocking noises. And there was nothing, nobody was there was doing it. And then it'd be rocking back into the lid again. And then it would start up spinning. And because we were talking, then we started laughing. The energy of us laughing gave it more energy to spin it. So it got faster and faster and faster to the point where people had to let go because they couldn't keep up with it. I had to let go. And and besides, because I was one of the tallest there, I was leaning over most of the night on these tables as they were going across the room and tipping and everything, so my back was giving in. So I let go, and I think, no, they had the ghost box set up, and the only thing I think I heard was, "Hello there," in this funny voice. And I didn't hear anything else, but they turned it off, so we could hear the scratching and knocking underneath the table. And there was people still going on with it, but people were having to leave because it was like getting past 2:30. And then we did a closing prayer to make sure, you know, she was saying, make sure nobody followed home. And good night. I was the only one that has to walk home in the dark for 25 minutes. Somebody else was going in a car. Talking about things following us home. So we did a prayer and shook hands with people, and I got on my way home. So I think that pretty much covers most of the night. So there was some explained activity going on there that I can't explain. But it'll be interesting when I get the DVD back, because I'll be able to analyze it from angles where I wasn't able to see. So that's that.
Well, it sounds like it was an absolutely crazy night, and I can't wait to see the DVD.
Yeah, but like they said, I mean, it's going to take weeks or even a couple of months because, you know, they do
years.
One or two of these a month, I think. And the editing process, I know what it's like for editing. I mean, there must be, because I was there for like about 6.5 hours. That's a lot of footage to sort out from two cameras.
Yeah, it is.
So, I'm not surprised it's going to take so long. So, it was a good night. I think there's something going on there.
Yeah.
You know, it was a good experience. Will I do it again? Maybe. But
we'll
I think probably I had more, it was good experiences, and I've had equally and maybe even more profound experiences in other areas of my life. I think probably because I know that I've been on my own, or it's not a big group of people, where there's more chance of discounting paranormal activity due to other person's movements or, you know, actions.
Right.
So, there you go.
All right. I hope everybody has enjoyed the ghost hunt share. We will be back on next week at the proper time, 2 o'clock p.m. Central, 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern, and 8 o'clock p.m. UK. If you want to get in touch with us, you can find us on Facebook at Broken Earth Radio. Bless you. You can also click the link in the chat room to get to our website. If you need to contact me personally for a reading, if anybody who's had a sample reading tonight wants to call in, or if anybody wants to talk to me and get a reading, actually today and tomorrow, I'm still continuing the $30 full moon discount. For both 30-minute and 60-minute readings. So just get in touch with me at Psychic Nunu or even at Broken Earth. If you want to talk with Bill, if there's anything that you need to talk with him about, you can get in touch with him those ways or at Bill Doyle. That's D like David, O-Y-L-E, at live.com. But remember, you have a zillion ways to get in touch with us, but we can't wait to see you next week. Is there anything that you wanted to add?
Just thanks to our repeat listeners and thanks to all those new listeners. And don't forget to go back and listen to our other shows on the archive because we've got plenty there, a range of them, all kinds of subjects, and I'm sure you'll enjoy them.
Yes, and we'll see you next week. And remember, have fun and don't be afraid to respect your days and don't be afraid of the dark.
Peace.
Go placidly amid the noise and the haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly. And listen to others, even to the dull and ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexations to the spirits. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain or bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career, however humble. It is a real possession. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself. Especially, do not feign affection. Neither be cynical about love, for in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is as perennial as the grass. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune, but do not distress yourself with dark imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive Him to be, and whatever your labors and aspirations, in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace in your soul. With all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be cheerful. Strive to be happy.